The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Virginia APVI and Lions Clubs. Virginia Beach is holding a sports weekend in October. From Washington Post, Biden warns schools not to overpunish the disabled. From NBC, disabled vets are desperate for benefits increase but were denied. From MSN, Uber refunds wait fees to disabled. From CBS, COVID-19 morphs with new variant. From Money Pop, be careful what you say around the iOS 14 orange dot. Let's get started. From the Virginia APVI, VA APVI, Virginia Association for Parents of Children with Visual Impairments, posted 18 hours ago on Facebook, Sports Explosion Weekend, October 21st through 23rd, 2022 at Triple R Ranch in Chesapeake, Virginia. Lions/ODU adapted sports and recreation for youth with visual impairments. ODU stands for Old Dominion University. Ages 9 to 19. Tell your friends and get signed up. Flyer below. If you can't access the QR code on the flyer, contact Lion Pat Carr, K-E-R-R, at 757-239-0991 for an application packet. I will read to you the content on the cover of the flyer. The Lions Sports Explosion Weekend mission is to empower youth with visual impairments to be physically active members of their schools and communities and improve their health and quality of life. Thanks to the Lions Charity Foundation of Southeastern Virginia for the initial funding to provide a unique opportunity to visually impaired children within our communities. For additional information about the Lions Sports Explosion Weekend, contact Lion Chet Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R, PCC, at L-I-O-N-C-P-K-R-A-M-E-R at Verizon.net, or call him at 757-903-1529. To obtain a registration form, scan the QR code. Obviously not. A 241 Lions/ODU partnership. Then there are logos for Lions International and Old Dominion University. The cover says, beep baseball, rock climbing, track and field, sport science, goalball, and horseback riding and judo. Sports Explosion Weekend at Triple R Ranch, Chesapeake, Virginia, October 21 through 23, 2022. Lions/ODU promote adapted sports and recreation for youth with visual impairments. A 241 Lions/ODU partnership. From WashingtonPost.com, Biden warns schools not to overpunish students with disabilities. Article by Donna St. George. Christina Washington, a special education staff member at Desert Heights Preparatory Academy in Phoenix, prepares her classroom on a Monday in 2020. Photo by Ross D. Franklin of the AP. The Biden administration issued new school discipline guidelines Tuesday aimed at cutting back on high rates of suspension and expulsion for students with disabilities by clarifying rules that the nation's schools are required to follow. Federal officials called the guidance the most comprehensive ever released on the civil rights of students with disabilities and said it would help as schools continue to try to rebound from more than 2 years of pandemic learning. This work is especially urgent now as our schools and our students and families continue to heal from the pandemic, said Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, pointing out that schools have struggled with learning loss, disruption, and a sharp increase in mental health challenges. Exclusionary disciplines such as out-of-school suspensions can exacerbate these challenges, increasing stress that might lead to a greater sense of social isolation and diminished academic achievement, he said. The release comes weeks ahead of the 22-23 school year, and as many schools have cited increased behavioral problems in classrooms last year. According to federal data, students served by the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act represented 13% of school enrollment across the nation. vaccination, but were handed nearly 25% of out-of-school suspensions in 2017 to 2018, the most recent school year available. The new guidance does not rewrite laws or regulations, but it is a small step in the right direction and sends a strong message to schools, said Daniel Lozen, director of the Center for Civil Rights Remedies at UCLA. These kids need a lot of supports, and fail to acknowledge their needs and suspend them is discriminatory, he said. I'm sure it meant failure. Racial disparities in discipline are a continuing issue, federal officials said. Among students with disabilities in middle school and high school, 24% of black students were suspended at least once, compared with 11% of white students, according to a report Lozen and his colleagues authored. In 134 medium to large school districts, at least 40% of black secondary students with disabilities were suspended at least once, Lozen said. In Tuesday's release, federal officials highlighted instances when discipline goes wrong for students with disabilities. In some cases, that means a suspension or other punishment because of behavior that arises when they are not receiving the services, interventions, and other supports that schools are obligated by law to provide. Other times, students may be punished for an offense related to a student's disability, the documents said. For example, the documents said, a student whose Tourette's syndrome causes her to sometimes curse involuntarily should not get the usual after-school detention for that infraction. Students with disabilities can still be disciplined under the guidance. Cardona said it would not compromise the safety or well-being of staffers and other students. He said school leaders should draw on federal funds that they receive for pandemic recovery to bolster student supports and increase professional learning for staffers. More than $122 billion has been distributed to school districts so far, he said. More than 8 million children in the United States receive special education services under the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA. About 13% of all children in elementary and secondary schools. Federal officials drew up the first major discipline guidance affecting all students in the nation's public schools in 2014 during the Obama administration. The guidance was scrapped in 2018 during the Trump administration. A year ago, the Biden administration announced it was reviewing the guidance but has not yet been released. Max Eden, a research fellow at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, disputed data on the frequency and severity of suspensions for students with disabilities, citing research published in 2019 and a study of teachers' views in 2019 by the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Pressuring school districts will likely yield even more lenient treatment, which may further disrupt and destabilize school environments, he said. Others said the guidance could have been more robust. This guidance offers some important affirmations of districts' responsibilities to protect students with disabilities, but it doesn't go nearly as far as we need the administration to go to protect students against the very real harms. Against the very real harms of the expanding and evolving school police infrastructure, said Catherine Dunn of the Advancement Project National Office, a nonprofit liberal racial justice organization. Donna St. George writes about education for The Washington Post, where she has been a reporter since 1998. She previously worked at the Philadelphia Inquirer and the New York Times. From NBCNews.com, disabled war vets are desperate for a measure that would increase monthly benefits. Lawmakers did not let it advance. In a blow to combat disabled veterans, the House Rules Committee declined to move the measure forward, but it approved hundreds of others, including one that addresses UFOs, posted July 18th. A measure that would have provided desperately needed monthly compensation to about 50,000 severely disabled war veterans was left out of the House's defense spending in a blow to retired service members struggling to survive amid rising inflation. The House Rules Committee declined last week to advance the major Richard Starr amendment, which would make medically retired and severely disabled combat veterans with under 20 years of active service eligible for both disability and retirement benefits. Under current law, only disabled veterans who have served 20 years receive both benefits. Those with fewer years of service receive disability payments, but not retirement, an injustice that robs retired service members of hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars a month that are not only sorely needed, but earned, veteran groups say. For Michael Braman, B-R-A-M-A-N, who served the Army and the Army National Guard for 19 years and 5 months, the current law means he is unable to collect an extra $2,200 a month despite being 7 months shy of 20 years of service. Braman, 45, said the military forced him to medically retire in 2014 due to disability caused mostly by post-traumatic stress disorder. He said he struggled mentally after spending a year in combat in Afghanistan in 2004 and pulling security at mass grave sites in Bosnia. His mental health spiraled back home in Iowa years later when he found his first wife dead in a car crash. "The floodgates opened," he said. "I had nightmares over that. I have nightmares of some of the things I witnessed while overseas. I've struggled ever since." Braman now supports himself, his wife, and 4 children, including a 2-year-old son who has autism and needs speech therapy, on about $4,900 in monthly disability and combat-related special compensation. "It's not that I'm in poverty," Braman said, adding that surging costs nationwide, including the fuel he needs for the weekly 2-hour round trips to Des Moines for his son's appointments, have made life more difficult. "There are people worse off than me, but I served the country," he said, "and I should be more financially stable than what I am." The bipartisan measure was named after an Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran who died last year from cancer caused by toxic exposure from combat, according to the nonprofit Military Officers Association of America. The amendment was among 1,200 proposals that the House legislators sought to have included in the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, this year. Last week, the House Rules Committee allowed 650 of those amendments to move forward for a House vote. The major Richard Starr Act was not one of them. Those that advanced out of the committee include an amendment that would create a secure government system for reporting UFOs and others, and another that requires the Defense Department to only purchase U.S. flags that are made in America. Some parts of the NDAA that the House passed address inflation and boost pay for active service members. That includes a 4.6% pay raise for military members and a minimum 2.4% inflation bonus for military and civilian personnel who earn less than $45,000 a year. Those who had been on the front lines and were forced to retire on disability feel forgotten by their government. "I feel personally that my service wasn't meaningful," Braman said. "Why did I serve?" In Tallahassee, Florida, Bill Geiger and his wife are burning through their savings as they raise 2 teenagers. Before Geiger medically retired in 2014, he had deployed twice with the U.S. Army and worked detainee operations in Guantanamo Bay in Cuba and Iraq's Camp Buca. "I was a good soldier. I was tough," said Geiger, 48, who was deemed unemployable due to PTSD when he left the military. Because of that, he relies on his benefits and cannot secure a second income. Though the Major Richard Starr, Major Richard Starr Amendment, Geiger would qualify to receive about $3,700 more a month, which he said would substantially help his family. But Geiger said it was a travesty that it did not advance in the House and demoralizing to retired service members who are struggling financially, emotionally, physically, and mentally. "It's a slap in the face. It's almost unbelievable," he said. "I'm a real person who lives in the real world with real bills and a real family, and we're talking about real money." Retirement pay versus disability compensation. Retirement pay from the Defense Department and disability compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs are fundamentally different and earned for different reasons, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the nonprofit veterans group, said. Yet no combat disabled retiree could receive both at the same time until 2004, when Congress said those with at least 20 years of active service and a disability rating of at least 50% could. That left out tens of thousands of people, including Purple Heart recipients whose military careers were cut short due to combat-related injuries, veteran advocates said. Combat doesn't care whether you serve 1 year, 2 years, 10 days, 20 years. It's going to treat you equally, said Jose Ramos, vice president for government and community relations in the Wounded Warrior Project. It doesn't discriminate based on time in service. The 42-year-old Navy veteran knows firsthand. Ramos lost his left arm in a rocket explosion in Iraq while serving with a Marine sniper team as a medic in 2004. The blast also left him with lung contusions, nerve damage to his left leg, bulged lumbar discs, and numerous shrapnel wounds. But because he served under 20 years, Ramos had to figure out how to stretch his $2,800 a month budget as a civilian. At 24, he stressed over bills for basic necessities, including food and rent. He wondered how he could afford to stay in the Washington, D.C. area where he was getting prosthetic care treatment. At the end of 2005, Ramos met his now wife, and their combined incomes helped ease his burdens. "If I had not met my wife, I don't know how the heck I would have survived," he said. "I was beyond fortunate, but veterans shouldn't have to depend on luck." The Senate could revive the measure. Veteran groups are now relying on the Senate to get the measure included in its version of the NDAA this year. It is more likely to pass as part of a larger package than as a standalone bill, Ramos said. If it survives in the Senate, there is a chance that the Major Richard Starr Amendment could end up in the final NDAA this year, but there would be hurdles. Because it is not in the House version, both chambers would have to reconcile any differences before the final bill is sent to the president for signature. And legislators in the Senate Rules Committee could face the same obstacle that their counterparts in the House did. While there are some ways around it under House rules, any amendment that could increase the federal deficit has to include a way to offset the costs by increasing revenue or reducing spending in other areas, or it cannot be considered. A spokesperson for Representative James McGovern, Democrat, Massachusetts, who chairs the House Rules Committee, said the committee could not advance the Major Richard Starr Amendment because it did not include that budget offset. The spokesperson emphasized that the decision was not because of the specific cost of the amendment, which, according to the Congressional Budget Office, is about $8 billion over 11 years. The Senate could work around the offset rule if 3/5 of senators vote to waive it. A Senate staffer said the bill has sufficient support to defeat those challenges if they arise. Senator John Tester, Democrat, Montana, who chairs both the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, said he would work hard to get the amendment included in this year's NDAA. "Getting this bipartisan bill across the finish line would honor the service and sacrifice of heroes like Richard Starr," Tester said in a statement to NBC News, "and it would send an important message that our nation truly has their backs." Supporters are clinging to that hope, but some fear it is a long shot. Others worry momentum will diminish if the measure has to be reintroduced in the next legislative session. For retirees like Michael Raska, 27, who sustained severe head trauma on a deployment with the USS Carl Vinson in 2014, that means yet another year that combat disabled service members have to feel the pinch. This injustice directly contributes to the thousands of disabled combat veterans that fall into homelessness, mental health crises, and suicide, he said. Raska has sent 700 emails to staff members of every elected legislator in the House and Senate to rally support, but he said only a handful have responded. "We're talking about America's greatest heroes," he said. "It's unacceptable." Melissa Chan is a reporter for NBC's News Vigital and with a focus on gun violence. From MSN.com, Uber agrees to refund wait fees it charged to disabled customers in violation of ADA rules. Uber has agreed to pay millions of dollars in compensation for allegedly violating the civil rights of passengers with disabilities and will modify its fee policies going forward. The U.S. Department of Justice announced that the San Francisco-based rideshare company settled a lawsuit on Monday that was filed in November 2021, alleging that the company had charged wait time fees in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Uber established the wait fees in April 2016, charging riders a fee after their driver waited for more than 2 minutes during pickup. The Justice Department's complaint said that Uber failed to modify the policy for customers who are disabled and need more time to safely get into a vehicle. The complaint said the fees were charged even when the company was aware a customer's need for more time was based on their disability. Ensuring equal access to transportation for those with disabilities is an important goal of the ADA, said U.S. Attorney Stephanie M. Hines of the Northern District of California in a statement. Uber will credit 65,000 users, double the amount they were charged, in illegal fees, and will also pay over $1.7 million to more than 1,000 users who had previously complained to the company about the fees, according to the Justice Department. Under the two-year agreement, Uber will waive wait time fees for riders who certify that they or someone they travel with frequently has a disability that requires more time to get into a vehicle. The company agreed to ensure refunds are easily available to anyone who is incorrectly charged a fee and agreed to train customer service representatives about the refund process to make sure it is readily accessible. From CBSNews.com, how COVID-19 symptoms are changing. A sore throat and hoarse voice became top symptoms with a newer variant. Posted July 19th by Caitlin O'Kane. The top symptoms of the Omicron COVID-19 variant may differ from symptoms that were common at the start of the pandemic. Omicron may also be less severe than the Delta variant, a study out of the UK found. People with Omicron often report a sore throat and a hoarse voice, which were not as prevalent in Delta cases, a Zoe Health study found. This is true for vaccinated and unvaccinated patients. People who contracted the Omicron variant were less likely to be hospitalized compared with those with the Delta variant, Zoe Health said in a press release about the study. Symptoms also lasted for shorter periods, an average of 6.87 days compared to 8.89 days. Earlier COVID-19 variants often caused people to lose their sense of smell. The study found that symptom appeared in less than 20% of cases and often days after the first symptoms began. Other serious symptoms that used to be prevalent, like fever, headaches, brain fog, and eye soreness, are less prevalent in Omicron cases. However, they can still occur. The Zoe Health study, which was supported by grants from the UK Government Department of Health and Social Care, tested people in the UK who were vaccinated. They tested participants between June 1st and November 27th, 2021, when the Delta variant was dominant, and between December 20th, 2021 to January 17th, 2022, when the Omicron variant dominated. The study collected 62,002 positive tests and looked at those patients' symptoms. In addition to a difference in the length and types of symptoms between the two variants, researchers said Omicron is found far less frequently in the lower respiratory tract. This is where infection can cause more severe symptoms, potentially sending people to the hospital. They also found Omicron symptoms do not last as long in vaccinated people. Delta is better at infecting lung cells than Omicron, the study found, and while Omicron appears to be much more transmissible than previous variants, this variant affects fewer organs than Delta, other studies have found, according to Zoe Health. The Omicron subvariant that was prevalent at the end of 2021 and the start of 2022 was labeled BA.1. There are now Omicron subvariants labeled BA.4 and BA.5 that appear to be causing a loss of sense and smell or taste again, Dr. Celine Grounder told CBS News. A similar study from Imperial College in London also found that there was lower reporting of loss of sense of smell and taste for the Omicron variant. However, the study, which is yet to be peer-reviewed, found there was higher reporting of cold-like and influenza-like symptoms. The study used data from REACT-1, a widespread survey in the UK that collected at-home COVID-19 tests from about 1.5 million participants between 2020 to 2022 and analyzed how symptoms differed between variants and subvariants. While it is perceived that newer variants like Omicron are milder, Omicron subvariant BA.2 was associated with reporting more symptoms with greater disruption to daily activities than the Omicron subvariant BA.1. Caitlin O'Kane is a digital content producer covering trending stories for CBS News and its good news brand, The Uplift. From MoneyPop.com, be careful what you say if an orange dot appears on your phone. Trending July 2nd. 85% of the American population owns a smartphone, an estimated 3.5 billion people, according to Pew Research Center. Our smartphones now serve endless functions. There's an app for almost anything you can imagine, and 47% of Americans who own a smartphone say they couldn't live without it. But with all of the possibilities these apps offer comes great responsibility. What do we mean by that? Well, have you ever noticed an orange dot appear on the right-hand corner of your phone screen? The dot isn't very noticeable. An orange dot might have appeared on your phone before, only you didn't notice it. It can be easy to miss as it's so small. In September 2020, Apple rolled out a new iPhone software update called iOS 14. After the update, users began seeing the orange dot appear on their phones. But unless you're super tech savvy, you might not have understood what the new iPhone feature actually means. If you see it, you might want to be careful what you say. It started with the iOS 14 update. As with most iPhone updates, after running the iOS 14 update, your phone should have looked a little different. Or maybe you upgraded to a new phone and it's the first time you've seen it. This update included a new look for the redesigned widget gallery, which helps users better organize their apps. The update also affected messages, now allowing users to pin conversations and also improving group messages. Maps were also given a new feature with improved cycling directions for those riding a bike while using the app. Privacy features were also updated. Changes to privacy settings. Along with the previously mentioned new features, iOS 14 update included some changes to user privacy. The new privacy features were designed to help improve transparency. The update also intended to help users understand what kind of access they're agreeing to when they download an app onto their phone. For each app that you download onto your phone, you could unknowingly be giving access to your location, photos, microphone, data, camera, and even your phone contacts, but that's not all that's changed. A reporter claimed that her phone was listening to her. Like many of us, the Sun reporter, Miranda Knox, was worried that her smartphone was listening in on her conversations. She decided to test her theory and prove that it was in fact happening and it wasn't just paranoia. Knox went into her phone settings and turned on mic permissions for all of her apps. For the experiment, she chose a few obscure topics that she's never searched or showed an interest in. She decided on spandex, business cards, and vegan food. She logged into her social media account and began talking out loud about those subjects while she scrolled and swiped on her phone. A few days later, she was shocked at what she saw. She was served ads related to her topics. Within days of beginning the experiment, Knox began seeing ads related to the obscure topics that she chose to test. "I felt like I was being spied on," she wrote in an article for The Sun. "Within days, I was inundated with ads related to those keywords." She left the mic on and continued her daily routine. The ads continued. "I had a conversation with my husband about getting an armchair while my phone was next to me on the sofa, and I was inundated with furniture ads." A warning from a cyber expert. After hearing of Miranda Knox's experience and frightening results, DefenseWorks founder and cyber expert Edward Whittingham said he's not surprised. He told The Sun, "There's no question as to whether or not our phones listen to us, but the million-dollar question is, are they?" He advised people who are concerned about big businesses eavesdropping on your conversations to check permissions on each of your phone apps. You might be surprised at just how many have or request access to your microphone, camera, or even phone contacts, when there's no obvious or tangible reason as to why they'd need it, he warns. Find out how the orange dot on your phone is related to privacy. It's up to us to protect our privacy. It may seem like the companies creating these smart speakers, smartphones, and virtual assistants aren't being completely transparent with their customers. What else are they not coming forward about? It's sounding more and more like we have to do our own detective work and make sure that we're not blindly agreeing to open our home for these devices to record our conversations. Because let's be honest, who really reads all that fine print in the Terms and Conditions Agreement? One way to take control is to know when your phone's mic is on and when you're being recorded. The orange dot means your mic is being used. When you see the orange dot appear in the upper right hand of your phone, that means your phone's microphone's on. You'll see it appear when you make a call or start a recording. That makes sense because you'll need your mic for those functions. Well, I ran out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, listening, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you.